That was awesome. Thank you, Stephen. Enjoyed that reading. How's everyone doing this morning? Awesome. Good job, Jim. Way to lead that singing. Jim was concerned because if you're watching the video online at home and the singing, you don't hear everyone like we get to hear. All you hear is what's coming in this microphone, so it's pretty much a solo for everyone at home. And I know he's bringing it. So, I mean, we're kind of joking, but also to get up here and do that, that's tough. And, you know, good job, Jim. That's not letting fear keep you from leading. I like that. That's very good. Thank you for doing that. I wouldn't be able to do that. So I can talk, but not sing. I don't even do that very well. God works in some mysterious ways. All right. So obviously we've noticed that Stanley, who normally leads our singing, is not here this morning. He's sick, has sinus infection. That's why he's not with us. He got in touch with me yesterday and said, hey, you know, I know, heard you weren't teaching the adult Bible class. Can you cover for me and teach the kids this morning? So I says, yeah, sure, I'll do that. And a Bible that I normally use, I couldn't find it this morning. I don't know where I left it, in my house, or I thought it was in my office. I got here, it wasn't here. And so I said, okay, I'm going to grab another Bible. And I'm starting to have some trouble with my left eye up close. You know, I think that comes with age, maybe. You can't see. My right eye is still pretty good, but my left gives me trouble reading. So I said, well, I'm going to grab this Bible. We'll see how it works. And I go into the youth room to teach. And I don't know why all these Bibles are in the youth room, but there's like a large print Bible in there. Like, it's like, yeah, there's like eight of them. I'm like, why do y'all have these? These need to be down with the other folks. And so, hey, this is pretty good, man. I mean, that's why it's so thick, because it's a large print. Doesn't have any extra books or anything in there. But I was like, oh, man, this is great. So I can see. You know, I was blind, but now I can see. So no excuses if I'm reading it incorrectly. So we are in Acts chapter 2 today. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. There might be one around you if you look around. Hopefully we got some Bibles in front of you. Turn to Acts chapter 2 with me. And we're working our way through the book of Acts. It is exciting to me to be going through Acts. Right? I mean, the things that the church were doing, you know, we like to think mission, we like challenges, we like goals. And of course, we kind of, as we go through, we kind of already know, you know, how it's going to work. Even if you don't fully know Acts, you know what's going to be happening, right? Like, the church is growing. And, you know, here we are today, and it's a Sunday morning, and there's churches all over the world meeting. And so, because of what was going on back then, here we are. So we kind of know where the story eventually gets to, right? Gets to us. And so we read it kind of like, oh, we know what's going to happen. And there'll be challenges, and there'll be, you know, people out to get them, and this is what God's going to do. They didn't know that. As we read that, keep that in mind. Like, they didn't know. When I say they, the apostles and those, you know, especially those first 120 that were there, they didn't know any of that. They didn't know what the outcome was going to be. When the leaders, the Jewish leaders, were telling them, stop preaching in this man's name, you know, they didn't know what was going to happen to them. And that's just good to keep in mind of where their faith was and who they ultimately trusted. And of course, last week we got into, you know, the Holy Spirit coming on them at Pentecost. Not last week, excuse me, 2 weeks ago. Brother Tim Sells covered for me last week. 2 weeks ago, we got into the Holy Spirit coming on them at Pentecost. And before that, they were in this period of waiting, right, for about 10 days, waiting, and they were praying together when the Spirit came. So we're still kind of in that Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost. That's still where we're at today. So I know Stephen read starting in about verse 4, so I'm going to back up a little bit and start in verse 1. Because I probably should have had Stephen read this also, but I didn't want to give him too many verses. I got to think about that, you know, when the person's going to read Scripture, how many verses are going to give them? And if I know who's going to read Scripture, and I'm like, oh, that guy, you know, he ain't been too nice to me. I'm going to give him about 15 verses with a bunch of names in it and see how he handles that. But anyway, I'm sorry. Okay, let's get going. Chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. So notice that they are together. What are they doing as they're waiting for Jesus, the gift that Jesus promised, right? They are together. That's important. It's important to be together. Can we expect, should we expect, I'm not saying, I don't know the answer to this exactly, but I want you to think about it. Should we expect God to work in His church if we aren't together? And I mean together literally, and I mean it metaphorically. Is he going to work in the body of believers if they aren't united, if they're not together? Think about it. Dwell on that for this week. But that's what they were doing. They were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, or in the version that Stephen read, other languages, as the Spirit enabled them. They were able to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. It was not of their own ability. Okay? It was as the Spirit gave them the power, as the Spirit gave them the ability, they were able to speak in other languages. Now, this is Pentecost. This is a national holiday. This is a religious holiday. There were Jews from all over the world here in Jerusalem at this time. All right, they had come to Jerusalem for the Passover, stayed for Pentecost, and they were all together in verse 5. They were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from all these different nations. It says every nation under heaven. It might be a little bit of a hyperbole, but there were people from all over. Right, and it goes on to list a lot of places of where they were from. And so we see that they're from all over different areas. Now, this is interesting because what is eventually going to happen to these people when the holiday is over, when the festival is over? Where are they going? They're going back home, right? They're going back home. What are they going to take with them when they go back home? Well, knowing this story and what happens, they're going to take the gospel message with them. This is a prime time for the Spirit to be poured out. Right, God is fully taking advantage of this holiday, of this festival, of all these Jews together in one place in Jerusalem to hear the gospel message about Jesus proclaimed, and then to go back home and take that with them. And as we're going to see, not this week, but when Peter preaches and a lot of them are baptized, they will also take back with them the Holy Spirit as well as they go back home. This is no coincidence that the Holy Spirit comes at this time and that they are all together and they're from all these different nations. But here they are. And so it says in verse 6, when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking his own language. When they heard this sound, now some people say the sound that they heard was the rushing wind, the violent rushing wind that came earlier. That may be. Others think it's the sound of them speaking the different languages. And that may be as well. I'm not exactly sure. I couldn't quite figure it out. I tried to figure it out. And I tend to think it was them speaking the languages. I think that's what it was. They're speaking languages, and so everyone hears and they come together. Maybe it was the rushing wind that brought them, the sound of the rushing wind that they heard, and they came. Regardless, they show up, and here they are. There's folks that should not be speaking their language that are able to speak the language. And it says they're in bewilderment. They're amazed. And they ask, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? How would they know that they're Galileans? Maybe it's a certain way they dress. Might be the way they talk. You got to recognize Jerusalem, right? It's the big city. These guys are from Galilee. The towns in which they came from were very small, rural, fishing communities. Had the opportunity a few years back after a hurricane to go help out in a fishing community on the coast in Alabama, all right? I thought I had an accent, all right? You can tell when you're there, like, whoa, this is quite a way of speaking the English language. The accent that's there, right? You wouldn't put that accent in somewhere like New York City. Those two don't go together. If you were to take someone from South Alabama and throw them in New York City, you know, it might, well, these days, who knows, you know, there's people from all over the world, may not stand out, but you recognize, hey, you're not from here. And we do that all the time. We hear an accent and we say, where are you from? And a lot of times we like to try to guess, right? And if we guess, you're like, oh yeah, I knew. But most of the time it's a guess and we're wrong often, you know. But they would not have spoken like everyone else in that area. They're from Galilee. They're a small town. And what does it mean for them? What does that mean? I think the stigma there would be much like what we have here. If you hear someone talking with an accent and you think they were, you know, raised in the boonies somewhere, we are a little bit stereotypical of how we think, right? I don't know how high this guy's education level goes. You know, and I'm speaking from experience. I've had to deal with this. You know, people hear me talk and they judge me right off the bat. You know, I know that happens. And they're usually right. You know, they're usually right. I'm not gonna go against that. We do this, right? So these same thing. Are these men educated? There's no way, there's no reason why these guys should be speaking this language. And I say guys, but it's gals too. I think it's not just the 12 here that are speaking in different languages. I think Jesus' mom is there, and the Holy Spirit's been poured out on her. I think Jesus' brothers are there. It might even have been all of the 120 that were mentioned in the last chapter in Acts. It might be all of them. And the Spirit was poured out on all of them. It's not just Peter and John, right? It's just not those apostles that we know. But all of them equally. You might think, well, if I was in this place, right, and the Holy Spirit's going to come, first of all, I shouldn't even be in this place. Like, if you're, okay, Peter, Mary, you know, James, John, like these guys are here, like, okay, Spirit's going to land on them. I'm going to step over here because I don't deserve to be in the same room as these guys and gals. But the Spirit's poured out on all of them. And so they're all speaking languages that there's no reason that they should know this. And that's what catches people's attention. Because this is a miracle. This is abnormal. This should not be happening. Are not they all Galileans? How is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? The language of their heart. The language that they grew up speaking. These men have never been to the city that I'm from. They've never been to the country I'm from. They're not. They didn't have, you know, Duo or Babbel apps or whatever to learn these languages. How did they know this? They recognize this. It says, if you skip down to verse 11, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Our own languages. We hear them declaring the wonders of God. What were they speaking when they spoke in these languages? They heard them speaking the wonders of God. They would be retelling the stories of God throughout the Old Testament, of how he saved his people, of how he's taken out the enemy, how he's provided for them in the wilderness, all the amazing things God has done for them. That's what they would have been hearing. Them speak, telling what God has done, how amazing he is. Here's my thing. I'm not sure if I talk about the wonders of God in English. You know, I'm sometimes concerned, like, you know, I think about, we'll get in this in a minute, you know, like, you know, I want the gift of speaking in different languages. I would really like that gift. That would be pretty cool, especially when there's certain types of food I want to go order. I would really love to be able to speak the language, right? But I'm not even declaring the wonders of God in English as much as I should be. What has God done for his people? What has God done for my family? What has God done for me? Do I tell other people the wonders of God? You know, we're not getting into the sermon Peter's going to preach today. We'll get into that sometime. But when they're speaking in the languages that these people understand, they're not telling them the gospel. They're going to tell, Peter's going to talk to them. He's going to address all of them. They all probably spoke Aramaic, right? They probably all were speaking that language, but they had their native tongues also. When they're speaking to catch their attention, they're speaking to them the wonders of God in their native language. Church, we want to tell people the gospel. I think that's on our hearts. I think we want to do that. We just think people don't want to hear it sometimes. We don't want to bother them with it. Okay, let's start out talking about the wonders of God. Let's talk about what God's done for us. If you're around someone and that person is cheerful, joyful, giving, loving, kind, caring, that's going to catch your attention. And if they're always talking about God and what God's done for them and how amazing Jesus is, you may not believe in all of that. But something's going to catch your attention because this person is living in a way that I think I want to live like. Maybe I should listen a little bit more. We have to be speaking about the wonders and the amazing things that God has done in our past and is doing in our present to the world around us, to the people around us. And I'm not saying this in a way, I'm not saying this that we need to be talking and speaking about God in a way like, I don't want to say this the wrong way, but just go with me on it. If you disagree with me, come and find me later. We probably agree on just saying it right. I don't want us to be talking about God hoping that it gets to the gospel. Like there's an ulterior motive of why I'm speaking about the wonders of God, right? Like, I'm only really talking about it hoping that, you know, it'll lead to me setting up a Bible study. Now, that's what we want, no doubt about it. I'm not saying that. We want that to be the case. But sometimes we feel like we have to do the work to, you know, for them to open up. No. That's not what happens. God does that work. We need to speak about the works of God, the wonders of God, with sincerity, like as if we believe it and we recognize it. Not, well, this is just some church speak I'm supposed to say to get to, you know, to the next step in the process. No, we speak because it's real in our lives. Let God work in people's hearts. Let Him bring them to Jesus Christ. Okay? That's what I'm, you know, hopefully I've made that clear in that. So here they are. They're amazed and they're perplexed. I love those two words, amazed and perplexed. When's the last time you've been amazed and perplexed? That catches your attention, doesn't it? You ever gone to a magic show? I remember my mom years and years ago bought tickets to go see, I think it was David Copperfield. Was that his name? All right, David Copperfield, the magician. I was pretty amazed and I was pretty perplexed. I'm not going to lie. It's like I wanted to know. Like, I wanted to know what was behind the curtain so bad, right? Like, you really, how did that happen? How did that person do that? Amazed and perplexed, because it takes you somewhere, right? You're left like, okay, something's going on. Church, are we amazed and perplexed at what God's doing in our lives? Maybe not so much perplexed because we've learned, right? We've seen enough to like, why should I be perplexed? This is what God does, right? Like, this is who He is. I'm constantly amazed. Are we showing that in our lives? You know, where we're at, maybe we don't have a lot of these little miracles going on that we read about in the Bible. Maybe they're not happening. Maybe they are in your life. I'm sure all of us have a story. If we all got together, we could all swap stories. I'm sure all of us have some kind of miracle story. I know I got mine. I'm not going to tell it up here on the stage. I'll tell you some other time if you ask. I got at least one, right? Like, I got no other explanation for that. That was a miracle. You may not believe it. Whatever. You can say it, whatever you want to call it to me. It was God showing Himself to me, and I believe that, right? We may all have those. Are we sharing those? Too often, I think, like in this situation, well, here's where Christians are at, I think, when it comes to this idea of speaking in tongues. And when I say tongues, all of a sudden, like, the hairs on our neck go up, especially Church of Christ, when we hear speaking in tongues, like, ooh, what, I don't know about that, right? Speaking in tongues. Again, I don't think it's just dribble coming out. I think it's actual languages they were speaking. I think there's a time you can pray, maybe, and you're speaking, you don't know what you're saying because the Spirit's speaking, you're talking to God, but when it comes to talking to other people, and the Holy Spirit's talking about speaking in different languages that they understood, right? That's what's going on here. I think we kind of fall into two categories. We're either one that, okay, well, speaking in tongues, yeah, I believe that happened here in Acts chapter 2, and then it happened a couple other places in Acts, but I don't think God really does that now. You know, now He uses different methods. You know, He doesn't do that now. And that's one category. And the other one, I think, is, okay, see, God spoke in tongues. That's how you know the Spirit's at work, because He spoke in tongues. And that's how it works. I think those are both a little bit incorrect. I think over here, yeah, maybe we're not seeing it so much like that, what we read in the Bible, and I think there's a reason for that. I think that was a specific time and place, and it was a way God was showing Himself, and especially the other examples that you read about in Acts. It was kind of saying, hey, these guys also have the Holy Spirit. Don't think you're better than them. Jews, don't think you're better than the Gentiles, because I'm going to pour My Spirit. They're going to speak in tongues just like you did, so you can recognize it that they're in on this too. I think that was part of it, all right? And I think over here, man, I don't want to be guilty of saying, this is how the Spirit works in this way only. I'm not going to put that the Holy Spirit in a box. To say the only way to show that the Spirit is in you is if you're able to do these things. Because I think the Spirit can do a lot more than just speak in tongues or speak in different languages. I think the Spirit can work. And if you read in Ephesians, Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he talks about singing to one another with songs and hymns and spiritual songs. And he goes on, and in that, he goes on to talk about husbands, love your wives. Wives, respect your husbands. Fathers, don't exasperate your children. Is that not works of the Spirit in our lives also? So let's not try to put the Holy Spirit in a box and say He only works this way. God only works this way. God works in the ways he needs to work to reach the people he needs to reach. Whether or not, you know, it's whether or not, I mean, it's, are we ready to receive that and allow him to use us to work in the lives of those around us? So I don't want us to read this story and say, okay, well, we want to do what the first century church did. We want to do the book. Okay, so, you know, hey, maybe God does give us this miraculous ability to speak languages. I don't know. But I do think we need to be ready to speak regardless and be ready for whatever he gives us. Put ourselves in a situation, a position to be ready to use whatever tools he gives us to reach those around us. What if, church, what if right here, right now, we already have the tools to reach the city around us? What if we have them and we don't even recognize it? The speaking in tongues, speaking in languages, the works of God was what God used to grab a hold of these the people in that city's attention. And it got their attention. And when it got their attention and they were at a place ready to hear, Peter went on to speak to them, all of them, with the sermon that he preached on Pentecost. What are we doing right now to grab a hold, to amaze and perplex people, to get their attention? What tools do we have, and are we using them, or are we just keeping them in the shed? Right? They were all together. The Holy Spirit comes on them. They recognize this gift that's been given to them. And then where are they at all of a sudden? They're in the presence of all these people out in the street. Some people say maybe they're in the temple courts. They're no longer in that room, are they? They were together. They received a gift. And they were out where the people were. We're together, church. What's God given us? How can we reach those around us? Let's figure it out. Let's take stock. Let's take inventory and let's get out there. And let's amaze and perplex and talk about the wonders of the God who we serve and how amazing he is. Not from a place of, you know, well, I hope this. No, because this is who he is and this is what he does and he's amazing. One last piece. I had a list of like, oh, I want to talk about this or that, but I'm not going to do that. Well, two pieces. If you go back, let me go back. Let's do it. Oh, if you got your Bibles, turn way back. Look at this big old thick Bible. Oh, can you see that? Like, oh, way back into Genesis. Way to Genesis chapter 11. The Tower of Babel. You may not even have to turn there. You may know this story. The Tower of Babel. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. Now the whole world had one language. Wow, that's nice. One language, the whole world. Man, if only we had a way that we could communicate with everyone in the world all at once. If only there was a way I could just go on, maybe type in a message or make a video and it just gets all over the world all at once. If only we had that. That was sarcasm. Talk about the internet. I don't know if that was landing or not. Okay. That's on me. One language and common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens. Let's build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. And not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. That's pretty ambitious. Let's come together. We got this amazing tools, brick and mortar, you know. Let's build a city. We'll have the tower that reaches to the heavens. Everyone will recognize us. We'll have our own name. And we'll stay here in this city. We don't have to go out into the mean, cruel world out there. We'll be together. We'll be safe here. And everyone will look up and respect us. Let's do that. Problem is, if you go back in a few other chapters in Genesis, you know, when God creates man, he says, go and fill the earth, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. God's always told his people, fill up. You know, this space I created, fill it. Christians are not supposed to stay in one place. I mean, we're supposed to multiply and keep growing, you know. We're supposed to go and fill areas. That's what we're called. That's what we're, since the beginning, that's what God wants his people to do. But they say, we're staying here. Verse 5, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they've begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. I have trouble with this verse. I have a lot of trouble understanding exactly what it's saying, and I'm not going to go down left, get off into left field on all of this. I want to, but we're not going to do that. Is this 100% accurate? And I'm not questioning the word of God or anything like that. I mean, like, God says if they put, you know, their minds to it, right, if they speak the same language, if they work together, nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Is he talking about just this specific group of people? Is that mankind in general? There's a whole lot of questions there I don't have the answers to, all right? But let's just take that and set it over here for a while. Verse 7, come, let us go down and confuse their language, so they will not understand each other. Let's confuse their language so they, you know, let's give them a bunch of languages. So they scattered them from there all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. Now they're scattered. They were together in one place, speaking one language. God says, we're not going to do this. This ain't what I want. I'm going to go down, confuse their languages. You know, they probably all divide up by language. Like, hey, those people are speaking this. I don't know what they're talking about. Those people are crazy. I don't know what they're talking about. Let's stick together. We got to get away from them. They're different than us. Let's go. That's confusing. Scattered them. Now they're going to go fill the earth and subdue it, right? Like, do what God says, or he's going to make it happen, right, in his own way. All right. The end of verse 9 says, from there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. All right. Isn't it interesting that this happens way back in Genesis chapter 11? And then now here we are in Acts chapter 2, and a very similar but yet different thing happens. There they are together. But there's people from other parts of the world in Jerusalem together. And God sends different languages. Now, they all could speak Aramaic, more than likely, right? They all could speak a similar language enough to get by and do all that, but he sends them different languages, and he wants them to scatter, and it's going to work. Why do you think the apostles needed that? Who was this for? And I think the answer is for everybody. It was for the apostles. Can you imagine the walls that came down in their world? Can you imagine? I mean, the apostles, they've been with Jesus, right? Like, you got to have a little bit. I mean, you got to have a little bit of like, yeah, I knew him when. I knew him back before. Like, I knew before he raised from the dead. Like, I've known Jesus. You got to have that little bit of ego. It's got to be. I mean, maybe not Peter. He probably got that crushed right away, right? But I'm thinking you got to be. And so you look at, I don't know. That's just me. I would have been like that. You know what? I'm tearing down these walls. You can speak to any one of these people in their language. Their language. Maybe it was for the apostles and the early disciples. It was definitely for those hearing the word, right? Hearing the wonders of God. It was definitely for them because they were hearing things and it blew their mind and, you know, what's going on, this amazing miracle. And it was for those people who were going to leave and go to their homes and tell others, right? It was for all of them. This ability to communicate. God wants us, church. Here's my point in all this. God wants us to go. He wants us to go. God calls us to come to him, and then he says to go. This Sunday morning meeting right now and the next one is for us to come and rally around and recognize and remember Jesus Christ's death and burial and resurrection. That is what this is for, okay? This is not everything. You don't leave this and you're done until next week. You don't sit in the upper room and pray and receive the Holy Spirit and say, well, that was pretty good. See you guys next week. Right? We come and we rally around. We gather together. We take the bread and the cup and we remember Jesus Christ and we praise him and we're together and we're unified and we're saved and we recognize that. And then we go. And we go out into the world. And we speak about the wonders of God and what he's doing in our lives. And you use whatever language, whatever tool, Whether it's just talking to your coworker, whether it's writing letters to prisoners, whether it's, you know, talking to people via the internet, whatever it means that you use to communicate to those around you the wonders of God in your life. And allow God to work with that seed that's been planted and make it grow. All right? That's what we do. Now, I don't know if, like in Genesis chapter 11, if us working together, if there's nothing impossible for us. But I do know this. With God working with us, nothing is impossible for us. Right? Nothing is impossible for us if we're doing what God wants us to do. Last thing, Ephesians. Luke. I'm not Ephesians. Luke, chapter 11. Jesus is talking to his apostles, his disciples. They want to learn how to pray. He talks to them about prayer. Verse 5. Jesus said, suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are in bed with me. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. The man really needs the bread. He's coming at night. He has a friend. He really, 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 really needs the bread to give to his friend, right? He's bold about it. He's willing to trouble other people. It's that. I mean, we may have no problem. You may know someone, they got zero problems troubling you for something they want. There may be those types of people. But that's not the case here. This is someone who gets the formalities of life. Like, it gets like, I don't want to inconvenience. Like, understands how a society works. This is what we're talking about here. Not someone who has no problem asking, but someone who recognizes this might be troubling them. I probably shouldn't. And we've all been there, right? Like, man, I need this, but I really don't want to bother them. Okay? That's where this guy is. Except he really, really, really needs this bread to give to his friend. So he's willing to make himself, you know, humble himself enough because he's embarrassed by this to go knock on his friend's door late at night, get him up out of bed, wake his family up to give him some bread. You got that? Okay. Because of man's boldness, he'll get up and give him as much as he needs. Look, man, you must really need this bread. This ain't like a, here's the bread, now leave me alone. It's like, okay, I recognize you really need this bread. How much you need, man? Go take care of your friend. I get it. All right. That's us in this equation, all right? Who's your friend that really needs the bread of life? You see that? Who's your friend who really needs the bread of life? Okay? All right, let's keep going. Verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. Now, what you might be thinking every time you've heard that verse, because I know you've heard it a lot, is that seeking Jesus. Like you're seeking Jesus and you'll find him. And I think that's true. That's true. But I think that's exactly what he's saying here in this. And you'll see why as we keep going. He's not just talking about finding Jesus, right? Because he's already the friend. Like, you're going to God with this prayer. You're already, you know, you're praying to God. You're looking for bread. So what's the bread? Verse 11. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Yeah, good fathers don't do that. That's ridiculous, right? He says, if you then, though you are evil, you're not God. You're human. You make mistakes, and you have enough sense to know not to do that, right? Even if you, even though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? To those who ask him. The Holy Spirit does a number of things, right? In our lives. Convicts us of the sins in our lives, comforts us when we're mourning. He does a lot of things for us, but the Holy Spirit also works through us and goes out to others. So you may have a friend Someone that you think of that doesn't know Jesus Christ. That friend needs some bread. How much do you love that friend? You willing to do what you have to do to get them some bread? Are you willing to go before God? No matter how uncomfortable or the time or as much as you need to, and ask God, I need help. This person does not know you or your son. Give me the tools that I need to reach this person. Are we praying that way, church, for the Holy Spirit? Because if we're not, why do we expect to receive if we're not even asking? Church, we've got to consistently, continuously, sincerely be seeking God, asking him, God, if it's speaking in a different language, awesome. If it's just knowing what to say at the moment, if it's giving a gift, if it's making a phone call, whatever it is, whatever gift that is that I have, or you know, money I need to spend, or whatever I'm willing, God, to do, give me that gift. Help me recognize what it is to reach this person, to tell them how awesome you are. What do I got to do to grab this person's attention, or these people's attention, or this city's attention, to let them know how awesome you are? So that they'll want to know what's going on. I want to be a tool used by you to work for your kingdom, God. That needs to be our prayer. Let's pray and then we'll stand and sing. Holy Father in heaven, we bow our heads before you. Father, we want your Holy Spirit. Father, we want your Holy Spirit to work through us, Father. Your Holy Spirit's already done so many amazing things to us here. Father, has worked in our lives. Father, you convict us of wrongs that we need to correct. You bring us to a posture of seeking your forgiveness, Father. You've worked in our lives to help us get rid of things that have burdened us, that have hindered us, sins that we've committed in the past, things that have been done to us in the past, Father. You've freed us from that. You've saved us from our own sins. You've saved us from death, Father. You've encouraged us. You've united us through your Spirit, Father. You've brought us together here to recognize your Son, Jesus. We recognize these amazing things that you have done in our lives, Father. The peace that you give us through your Spirit. The joy that you give us. The comfort. The faithfulness. The goodness, Father. You've brought us to a place to be more and more like your Son every day, Father, through your Holy Spirit. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit works in us to shine a light and to reach out to those who don't know you yet, Father. We want to be in that position to be able to look outward and to see who's out there, Father, and have your Son's name on our lips, Father, as we talk to others. We want you to be central in our lives, Father, to talk about you more than the things we talk about that we read about in the news, Father, or how our sports teams are doing, or how good this restaurant was, Father. Those things, they don't matter. We want to talk about you and speak your words, Father, to those around us, our children, our spouses, our parents, our coworkers, our friends, our students, Father, the strangers that we meet. We want to be a people that speak your words. Give us that ability. Give us that power, Father. We know that you can. You've told us to. We're asking, Father, fill us with your Holy Spirit. And use us, Father, as our prayer. Help us to be obedient. We pray these things through your Son, Jesus' holy name. Amen. Stand and sing.